we present the news quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Welcome to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from Luton on Sunday, read by Zeb Soans.
Luton police have carried out a series of arrests. Those charged include Genghis Khan, who is suspected of identity fraud.
Our thanks to David Oakley Hill for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Katie Brand. Opposite them on my left, Humphrey Carr and Fred McCauley. Jeremy, who pledged a referendum to save an election?
Cameron's getting in a tiz because, well, as the audience here are aware, this show is recorded on a Thursday, which is annoying because elections are always held on a Thursday and we always don't know what the result is, so we have to guess. So we're guessing that UKIP are going to do quite well because they've got a certain novelty value at the moment. And it's wrong to dismiss UKIP as just bigots and maniacs, apparently. you can't say anything these days. It's political correctness gone mad, it is. But I was heartened to see them say that they're a non-racist party. I thought, that's good. And I thought, well, they didn't actually say anti-racist. There's a nuance there, isn't there? Well, I'm not personally a racist, but I have nothing against racism in principle. In fact, some of my best friends are racists. It's got Cameron all in a tiz, so he said he will legislate on having a referendum.
Why do you think Nigel Farage hates Europe so much? Do you not think we should track down the French exchange student that broke his heart all those years ago?
I hear that Europe came to his family's village when he was a young boy and ravaged the town and carried off the womenfolk.
I worry that perhaps one of his grandparents is European.
Yeah, in the same way that a lot of homophobic people turn out to be gay.
Yes.
He may well turn out to be Italian.
Yes. Can you imagine?
When he gets home, he puts on leather gloves.
Is there a timetable for the referendum?
No, is the lovely thing about it. It's a kind of serious consideration that maybe there would be a referendum, but it wouldn't be before and maybe it'll be after. We're not really sure.
You have to be careful, as we've discovered in Scotland. If you mention it often enough, suddenly one will appear on the horizon.
Yes. If we leave Europe, darling, because we're connected now with the tunnel, is there like a plug that you can...
Well, I saw somebody digging in Motherwell. I think we're having a tunnel of our own.
Okay. but that would sort of go to Denmark, wouldn't it?
And what's wrong with that?
Nothing. No.
On the eve of the local elections, David Cameron indicated that he was prepared to give serious consideration to placing an EU referendum on the statute books. It has been suggested that the move was in response to polls showing UKIP moving forward. UKIP was previously dismissed by the Conservatives as a party of nuts, fruitcakes and clowns. Terrible political movement, but a splendid children's birthday party. We can only guess what's happened in the elections, but commiserations to the Lib Dems. 2 points to Jeremy. Katie, who had a taxing interview this week?
Well, it was Miliband Minor, wasn't it? The kind of the Miliband saga, like one of the worst Geoffrey Archer books you've ever read. He was asked for a straight answer, I believe, on several occasions, and he appeared to not know his own economic policy or several of the other policies that they've been sort of banging around between games of squash for the past few years. And he had quite an embarrassing interview, which he then had to admit that, you know, we all make mistakes.
You could hear David laughing all the way from New York. It was... Anyway, what we've done, it's a thought. We've tried this at home. It's a little drinking game. Have a listen. Every time Miliband fails to answer the question, have a drink and see how you get on.
your solution to producing more growth is to spend more, is it?
Well, let me give you just one figure, because I think it's really important.
All I'm asking you is to explain how you're going to boost growth. I just want a straight answer to that.
Well, I am giving you a very straight answer.
I'm asking you what you would do right now. Yeah, if I made you Prime Minister right now, what would we do
right now is the 5-point plan for growth and jobs.
So you'll have to borrow more, wouldn't you?
No, because you don't understand, Martha. I don't think you're quite accepting this point.
I'm asking you about your plans, not George Osborne's. I'll be talking to the Prime Minister. I want to ask you...
But it's very relevant.
I understand why you want to change the subject.
I'm not changing the subject at all.
Just answer my question, which is...
It's very relevant to this point. It's very relevant to this point.
You want to cut...
When she said, if I were to make you Prime Minister now, she said, can you just do that? Please, Martin.
But the funny thing was, you could hear the panic in his voice when she said it. Like, if I could make you Prime Minister now, it's like, oh, God, don't do that. I haven't figured it out yet.
Inside, he'd be saying to himself, don't say magic beans, don't say magic beans.
But the excuse was that he was overexcited because he'd been to a Q&A with the public. And I haven't seen that. Have you seen these on television, just these Q&As? Apparently he stands on a pallet to do them. I don't know what he does when he's finished. Perhaps a forklift truck puts him back in the warehouse along with all the other planks. I don't know what to do.
The thing that I've taken away from it, honestly, is it's really reinvigorated my dreams of becoming a public servant. Because you get these political aides that come along the next day and go, no, you didn't mean any of that. you're stupid. Because actually, he meant something really different. Yeah. And I would love that in my personal life. If every awkward social interaction I ever had, someone would appear the next day and go, oh, yeah, now, you know how on your date, Humphrey, he led you to believe that he was a rarely employed actor with a pot belly. Well, actually, he's a sexy fighter pilot. So... No, you're stupid.
But I did hear that he'd gone on another interview the next day and said, it's good that I can come on this interview and explain what I tried to say yesterday. And just wait till tomorrow's interview.
He was sort of... It wasn't so much digging himself into a hole as standing in a ditch and hitting himself on the head with a spade. In an interview on The World at One, Ed Miliband failed to answer a question 8 times about how he would fund his proposed VAT cut. He also failed to answer a question 10 times about whether he'd done his physics homework and brushed his teeth. Eventually, Ed went on to admit there would be a rise in borrowing to Lorraine Kelly on Daybreak. A strange place, perhaps, but it follows in the footsteps of Lorraine's other political exclusives, including John Prescott announcing he was going blonde, and Yvette Cooper joining Girls Aloud. 2 points to Katie. Humphrey, what was credited with a universally underwhelming debut this week?
Ah, now I suspect this is the rollout of the brand new benefit system, Universal Credit.
Woo!
Woohoo! Yes, that's as limp a response as that is really how it's gone down. It's the new system to replace the benefits, to roll 6 different benefits into one. I was initially very disappointed the story was not about the company that James Bond pretends to work for in the films, Universal Exports. It's just some boring thing about people that don't have much money getting money off the government. I mean, I think I speak for everybody in this room when I say they should all be fired out of a cannon into the sun. Right? Yeah? You laughed, you're complicit. That's how the system works.
Well, the weird thing about the system, it expects the poorest in society to have access to the internet. I should underline, provided a free internet service at their council offices, and on the first day, not one person turned up to use it. But maybe they advertise it on the internet.
It's all run off Ian Duncan Smith's MySpace page. You just go and comment on one of his videos. Can I have some money, please? And then if he likes it... I haven't been on MySpace for years. I've got a life.
No one has.
Yeah, no one has at all. Actually, the guy that ran MySpace, he sold MySpace years ago, and he's on Twitter now, and apparently people... I follow him on Twitter, and it's brilliant. Every day, someone, somewhere, some idiot who's bored, sends a message being like, no one goes on MySpace anymore. And he just tweets back, yeah, I sold it for $580 million about 6 years ago, so I'm just lying by my pool replying to you, you tit. Which I think is a great way to spend your retirement.
So if you finally work out that you're entitled to benefits, it's going to take forever, and then by the time you're 65, IDS knocks on your door and wants you to pay it all back. That's how it works. Now, doesn't he want all the money back from pensioners?
Yes, they're trying to sort of find ways in which they can sort of scrimp and save. And he's cutting back on the previous sort of pensioner-based economy of re-spreading money through £20 notes in Christmas cards.
I send £20 notes sometimes to my kids at university, and they call them purple drinking vouchers. On Monday,
by the time you get to 60, though...
It's not long.
5 years, but the pension age will be about 90 by then. Because it'll just be receding, won't it? It'll be like, follow the light, and you'll never get... It'll just always... The pension will just recede
after
away.
After all those years of tough physical labour, Sandra, you must be looking forward to a break.
No, honestly, the retirement age is a bit like driving to Cornwall. The closer you get, the further away. On Monday, a trial of Universal Credit started in Ashton-under-Lyne. The scheme will start off in a concentrated area before gradually taking over the country. Sounds like Boris Johnson. 2 points to Humphrey. Fred, who's keeping luxuries locked up?
It's Chris Grayling, who has said that prisoners are going to have to earn privileges rather than get them from the get-go whenever they step over the threshold of their five-star accommodation. I've visited prisons, and the ones that I saw, and this is Scotland, they all wear prison uniforms. Not like the guards. I mean, that would be confusing. But they have...
I like the idea of a prison mufti day, though. Like, for maybe, like, for comic relief, where they all pay a pound and they get to wear their own clothes.
Bring your victim to work day.
But the withdrawal of Sky Sports, that's a privilege that's going to be taken away. And I have to say that in the prisons in Scotland, Sky Sports was seen as something of a punishment, given the state of our football up there.
I read a thing by someone from the Howard League that said they only get Sky in G4S prisons. They don't get them in state prisons. It's the G4S ones because they're understaffed. They're just like bad childminders. They just put on a DVD, lock the jail and go away.
I was quite confused with the whole story because I've never been to prison. I know, hard to believe. But my understanding of prison is derived largely from porridge. So I thought it was just a hilarious place where everyone bought things with snouts. I just thought that Harry Grout ran the whole place. Mm. You spent a lot of time running around trying to get one over on Mr. Mackay. It sounded brilliant. Mm. Turns out it's ghastly.
It's enough to put you off crime, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I've certainly changed my view about the whole thing.
I hadn't quite realised there was a private prison sector. Mm. Like a kind of private school sector, state prison and private prison.
Well, who do you think is going to run crime if they don't have private prisons? you've got to have people who have the status of a private prison background in order to be in charge of organised crime.
And is it that all of... anyone who went to private school who's an MP and has been fiddling their expenses, they go to the private prison?
They get to go to Cheltenham Ladies' Prison.
Yes, yeah, you're issued with a Labrador as you go in. But it's not a very good one. Yeah. I mean, he'll come when you whistle, but he will not pick up pheasants.
Male prisoners will have to work harder and make greater efforts to cooperate in order to earn privileges such as watching television under plans for prison reform announced by Justice Secretary Chris Grayling. Now, there'll be three levels of privilege: basic, with minimal privileges; standard, which allows more socialising and money; and enhanced, which allows you to keep running your bank or constituency while inside. 2 points to Fred. At the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Katie have got 4 points, but so too have Humphrey and Fred. We start round two with a cutting spotted on the Radio 4 website.
Have you ever felt isolated by technology? If so, we'd love to hear from you. Just message at Radio 4 and use our hashtag on Twitter.
And our thanks to Emma Woolerton for sending us that. Katie, who's got a brand new idea for policing?
This is a police force, I think in Dorset or somewhere in the West Country.
Dorset.
Who have come up with an idea, due to cutbacks in police funding, that they should get private sponsors to fund the police. Mm. So they should do deals with private sponsorship companies, which I think is an excellent idea.
OK.
And I would like to see someone like Dane Pack or something to sponsor the police.
Be very careful.
That whenever the police come, you could legitimately say, "Can anyone smell bacon?"
I like all this. I like the idea of having things brought to you. You could have your tasering was brought to you by Currys for all your for all your electrical needs. I quite like that.
Every time they stop and search someone, they'll go, "Every little helps."
Tasering should be by Tandy, so they fire it and then they go, "Oh no, could you put your tongue in a car battery?" I have to declare an interest, Katie. I lived with a policeman for a number of years, or Dad, as you used to call him.
And did you feel safe and secure and snug in your bed?
No, I used to suffer a number of beatings at school from the children of the men that he'd arrested.
If they're going to be sponsored, they should be forced to run marathons when they're on duty, because, as we all know, the only way you should ever give money to anything is if somebody is prepared to run a pointlessly long way. And that's what's fantastic about the marathon. Because if someone says to me, "There's been a terrible disaster in a developing country, will you donate?" I say, "Not unless you run over 30 miles for no good reason."
I like the change of tone, though, with this branding. you have the right to remain silent, as silent as driving the new Peugeot 5.
They'd all be sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts. When my dad was in the City of Perth Police, they got the first panda cars, and this totally changed their eating habits. They had the radio system, and somebody actually complained in Perth that they'd heard the following conversation, which was, control to Panda 2, come in Panda 2, aye, Panda 2 here, can you go to number 147 High Street and collect the evidence and bring it back to... Hang on a minute. Yeah, the sergeant wants his evidence with tomato ketchup.
Sponsorship should be appropriate for the thing. You should have Morphy Richards sponsoring kettling. You should have... You have the right to remain fabulous, thanks to Mandy's hair and nails.
Because you're not worth it.
Have you noticed that policemen are getting younger every day? Yes, that's thanks to L'Oreal.
You're going away for a long time, sunshine. Thanks to Thomas Cook.
Police stations and cars could be branded with the logos of corporate sponsors under a deal proposed by Police and Crime Commissioner for Dorset, Martin Underhill. Police budgets have been squeezed recently thanks to austerity measures and the News of the World closing. 2 points to Katie. Humphrey, who's being schooled in the art of trumpet blowing?
This is a story about girls at Wimbledon High School, which is a very fancy fee-paying school in West London, who are being taught how to boast more, because the feeling is that the ladies, with a Z, are rather more reluctant about not hiding their lights under a bushel, or whatever the phrase is, and not very good about sort of promoting themselves in the workplace and things they're missing out to the gents. They've got this kind of success week, I think it's called, where they all have to write successes of theirs on postcards and pin them up around the school, which sounds absolutely terrifying and horrific to me. The thought of having to do that when I was at school fills me with dread. Mine would be like, I beat my top score at Tetris and I haven't cried during Black Beauty. Two whole weeks with dry sheets.
Do you know what the funniest thing about this story was that in one report about it, they'd said that the same school last year had a similar scheme called Failure Week, where the pupils were taught how to accept and respond to failure. And I just wonder whether perhaps Success Week is a response to how successful Failure Week was.
Like a seesaw from one to the other. Like, oh, God!
This notion of putting your skills and achievements on the postcards I found interesting, because I walked up here from Oxford Circus and a lot of the young ladies seem to have been putting their postcards in the telephone box. They've all got a very similar skill set.
I think women just get all their... girls get all their boasting out of the way on Facebook, don't they? Because Facebook is just people bragging about their perfect life. Oh, look at our wedding, it was so great. Well, so what? It's not going to last. No, look at our holiday. It was great. No one cares about your holiday unless you lost your bags or were taken hostage. That's interesting. The fact you had perfect weather and went to a craft museum is not interesting. Look at our beautiful, talented children. Your children are as ugly and weird as everybody else's children.
This thing where you photograph things and it goes on the internet, I would agree with you that all people do is take photographs of their food, and unless they've used their food to spell out a clue to the location in which they're being held against their will, it does seem a trifle pointless.
Look where the lobster's pointing!
Yeah, yeah. The claw would never fall at that angle. Yeah. It's pointing at something.
Wimbledon High School for Girls is to give its pupils lessons to encourage them to be brave enough to acknowledge their strengths and achievements and thus better equip them for the workplace. The initiative has proved very popular and there's now a waiting list of 60 girls and one Ed Miliband. At the end of round two, the scores are Jeremy and Katie have got 8 points, but Humphrey and Fred are in the lead with 9. Before we start round three, here's a cutting from the Daily Telegraph.
A clothing manufacturer has claimed that cash-strapped women are hanging on to underwear for longer, which is hurting their bottom line.
And our thanks to Christopher Prendergast for sending us that. Jeremy, whose willpower means he's making a royal mint?
It's Chuck Windsor. And he is the posh biscuit magnate, as you know, and also the Duke of Cornwall. So it's not all fun. He has serious responsibilities. He is a feudal overlord. as well as walking around carrying a staff needlessly. I mean, if you've got a back problem or bad knees, you might need a stick if you're old, but just to carry a staff. He thinks he's a wizard, doesn't he? If you don't make a will and you die, more fool you. And you haven't got any family, then what happens is, normally, that money you'd think would go into the public sector and get spent on good stuff. In Cornwall, it does not. It goes to Prince Charles, all of it. And this is a very poor county. It's got a lot going for it. It's very beautiful. Cornish people are always fond of saying, all the artists come here for the light, and you have to break it to them that everywhere's got a light, really. I went to Extra one time, I couldn't see a bloody thing. But... the fact is, it's terribly poor, and they could use this money, but Charlie's sitting on it, and he donates a bit of it to his charities, which he runs. And one of them is sponsoring Cornish boys to go to Gordonstoun Public School in Scotland, which is a hell of a long way. It's about as far from Cornwall as you can get, apart from America. And they'll all come back with stupid accents saying, "Hello, Father, I've been away and been privately educated. I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. Do you want this pasty or not? You better have it now or the seagulls will get it. Help me get this rum through this cave."
Everything you said in the last 5 minutes seems to suggest that you live in the 17th century.
Yeah, wasn't that an episode of Poldark?
Yeah.
Poldark was very accurate. Poldark was a documentary.
Get back to the point. If Prince Charles has got 3.3 million, why doesn't he make another one of those kind of fantasy villages? What's that one in Dorset, Poundland, that he made? I mean,
what is it called? It's like, for him, that's like Lego, isn't it? Like, for a normal
very
child
careful
that,
now.
That makes a sort of a Lego village.
Can I just say, though, on the Lego thing, I mean, Denmark, we have the royal...
Oh, I see.
We have a royal family, but, you know, they work for a living. Everybody has to do time in the Lego mines. It's not just...
Lego is really Denmark's secret shame, because a lot of young Danes die of Lego lung in those mines. If you get one of those really long ones, just lodged in your lung, it's game over.
Do all the princes get something? Does Prince Edward get all the money lost down the nation's sofas? I mean, what just happened? Do they all get something?
Well, he's the Earl of Wessex, isn't he?
So that's a made-up country.
It was a country once, Sandy,
yes.
Once upon a time. So he gets all of King Alfred's lost treasure.
Prince Charles automatically receives the money and assets of people in Cornwall who die without wills or family. Last year alone, he made £450,000 from people dying without making a will, and to put that in perspective, that's almost the price of a packet of his biscuits. Humphrey, why are French railways holding a root and branch investigation?
This is the story about the new proposed Bordeaux to Bilbao line, which was, they had an original planning sort of application put in.
Application.
And it went through some charming little village somewhere called Charming Village.
Le village le plus beau. Yeah.
Nigel Farage is listening to this thinking, I understand every word.
Yes, he's putting a bag of frozen English peas on his groin. Triumph! They planned out their route, they planned out their line, and all of a sudden, rather strangely, it was moved sort of 60 kilometres west or whatever it was, and the residents of the new route line were like, qu'est-ce que la hell is going on? and sort of looked into it. It transpired that the mother of some rather important French minister called François-Gilles Egratier, his mother had, you know, evidently had a quiet word with him, and he'd had a quiet word with the people that were in charge of sorting out the route, and it had suddenly been rerouted. I slightly sympathise with him. I once kicked a football into my mother's greenhouse, and I still hear about it 19 years later. If I was to kick a high-speed rail link into her greenhouse, I dread to think what would happen. So, it would appear, allegedly, hasn't been officially done for it, But it seems like he may have used his influence in the corridors de power.
I love the idea that he's denying it in front of a map of the new route, which basically goes along and then just goes round the edge of his mum's garden in a book.
The judge did describe it as a filial love motivated him, which I thought was the title of the final Serge Gainsbourg album.
But apparently it's... If anybody doesn't know, the TGV, that's the train in France, it can travel at speeds of up to 600 kilometres per hour. Very like our own high-speed railway, except, you know, high speed.
That was the high-speed rail link that was once going to go from London to Glasgow, but is now stopping at Birmingham. So somebody in the cabinet's mum must own Birmingham to Glasgow.
François Gilles Aigretier, a former advisor to Christine Lagarde when she was French finance minister, is being investigated for allegedly changing the route of a new TGV train line to prevent it going through his mother's garden. Authorities are also investigating why the River Seine has been rerouted to her fish pond and why the Arc de Triomphe now forms part of her rockery. If found guilty, Monsieur Aigretier could face a fine of up to €75,000 or 8 pence. Points to Humphrey. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings. The teams have brought along Mr. Hardy.
Sandy, this was sent in by Martin Barton, and it's a press cutting about the Worcester City football ground. For someone who has spent a lifetime watching Worcester City through thick and thin, Ken Freeman is in remarkably fine fettle. But it hasn't always been like that. He said, "I used to get really upset if they lost. It proper spoilt my weekend. It was a go home and kick the cat sort of thing. But I'm more relaxed about it now, and we haven't got a cat anyway."
Ms. Brand.
This was sent in by Tom Inglis from the Lennox Herald. A Dumbarton man has been faced with the choice of eating or seeing his son following benefits cuts that came into effect recently.
Tricky choice. Mr. Carr.
Well, this is taken from the North Devon Journal and has been sent in by Owen Jones. It's a report about the Parkham Women's Institute meeting. The speaker at the April meeting was Captain Colin Darch, who talked about piracy. Embarrassingly, the WI all dressed as pirates for the evening, not realising that Captain Darch was going to be talking about his experience of being held hostage by Somalia.
Let's take a look at the final score. Jeremy and Katie have got 10 points, but this week's runaway winners are Humphrey and Fred with 14. Oh. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from Parenthood magazine sent in by Sue Roberts.
"I get a great deal of satisfaction from changing dirty nappies, then dropping them off at school gates."
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz with Jeremy Hardy, Katie Brand, Humphrey Carr and Fred McCauley. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Zeb Soames. The chair script was written by Roderick Crooks, Simon Littlefield and Lucy Clark, with additional material by Mandy Baker, James Bugg and Gronya Maguire. The producer was Sam Bryant.